Okay, sweet mamas, bear with me in this podcast because boy was I sick when we were recording, and I sound like it. Before we get underway with our fantastic guest today, I just wanted to take a pause and tell you about our sponsor. It's us. We want to tell you about two new products that we just created and put in our shop. They are for our fellow homeschool mamas, and the first one was created because we had so much love coming from our reel that we posted on Instagram about our homeschool clipboards. It is an editable template for our homeschool clipboards, so if you want to check that out, you can find it on our website, or you can find the links in our show notes for our podcast. And the second one we named Homeschool Plan Like a Mother. It's a simple but mighty little printable that will help you get organized for your coming year of homeschooling. It'll also walk you through some questions that will help you fine-tune your why and get you really excited about the year to come. Again, you can check these out in our shop, and let's get started with our guest today.
Welcome back to the Deliberate Day Podcast,
your podcast for moms of many.
I'm your host, Tiffany.
And I'm Brittany.
And if your entry into womanhood was a bit less than stellar,
or if maybe you're staring down the barrel of a preteen starting her beautiful transformation,
then what our guest is sharing today is exactly what you need in your life.
Today, we have the pleasure of chatting with Christina Valenzuela, a wife, mom of four, and the owner and creative director of Pearl and Thistle.
She offers a unique blend of both theology and science to bring better body literacy to Catholics. She's been a certified instructor in the Boston Crosscheck method of natural family planning since 2013.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I'm so excited to dig in with her. And she has a signature course right now. It's called Cycle Prep. And it was actually a 2021 OSV Innovation Challenge finalist. You guys, how cool. She holds an undergraduate degree in philosophy and theology from the University of Notre Dame, as well as a master's in theological studies from Harvard Divinity School. This mama is a powerhouse, you guys.
She is also a life-professed member of the lay fraternities of St. Dominic. And today she is here to teach us how to introduce our teens, and really the entire family,
yes,
to their cycles in a beautiful way.
Christina, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, ladies. I'm actually going to like put that little intro in my pocket, and I'm going to put that on like repeat when I need a pump up in the morning. That was so nice. I loved it.
We think you are phenomenal. And I am really excited to dig into these questions because I am one of those people staring down the barrel of many more to come into this beautiful transformation. Mm-hmm. And I say that with sometimes through gritted teeth because it feels so beautiful in some rites and in other rites, not so much. What I really wanted to share with our listeners today was how you recommend people introduce their teen to their cycle and kind of when we start to see when we need to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's take that maybe a couple questions at a time. So when is the right time to talk to your daughter about cycles? There's a couple of different ways that we can think about forming our daughters to be ready to enter puberty. And the first is like what we typically think of as the proximate formation, right? What are we going to do immediately before she enters puberty? Or maybe what are we going to do to catch up if she's already entered and we kind of forgot to say some things or need to be on our toes?
Yes.
Right. So proximate formation for puberty, being really intentional about ushering her in and shepherding her into that phase. You know, it really should begin as young as 9 years old, sometimes even sooner with girls. So there are key body signs that we can look for. Like if she starts developing breast buds, this would be the first sign that her body is beginning to change. And so that happens about 2 to 3 years before she's going to get her first cycle. So that's kind of the first clue that things are going and you should start these conversations. So that's like an easy thing that you can look out for. But I always suggest that moms should be attentive also to like what's happening with her peer group. Because part of my mission is not just making sure that families are educated within the family unit, which is absolutely important, but also how are we as a community understanding and welcoming and shepherding these girls through puberty, some of them starting very early. And so, you know, I also recommend to parents, you know, take a look and see what's happening with the girls in her class. Are there any signs that any girl in her class may be advancing through puberty a little faster? And if so, maybe now is the time to talk to your daughter so that she can be one of those really compassionate, caring voices to welcome the other girls in her class into this transition as well. So that's kind of the recommendation for proximate puberty formation, if we want to kind of start with that.
Ooh, I love that you brought in the fact that we have this opportunity to create a community around these girls. I absolutely love that. What do you recommend? I heard once you talking about like kind of setting up the girls with these little pouches and things so that they can kind of be that, not just a support emotionally, but kind of a support physically in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, I think maybe a lot of people may be familiar with the concept of packing like a period kit, right? You know, packing supplies that you can just take to school with you or take to, you know, summer camp or whatever you need, having your supplies ready regardless of whether or not you've started your cycle. But one of the things that I talk about in cycle prep is that packing a period kit is not only something that we do for ourselves, but is also something that we can be intentional about carrying extra supplies for our friends. And so in cycle prep, I talk about building a culture of care, right? How do we, you know, care for our own bodies, but how do we kind of be attentive to the needs of the other people around us? And so with puberty, it's tricky because our girls are kind of all in different stages at different times, right? You know, some girls are getting their periods earlier than others. Some girls are getting bras before the others, or some are a little later. And so packing a period kit can be something where even if your daughter tends to be a little bit on the later end, she can actively participate in caring for her friends and helping them through this transition by even letting them know, like, hey, I have some supplies if you ever need anything. Like, I've got an extra stash of pads in my bag or whatever. And just being intentional about making sure that the girls around you know that you have supplies and that you're there to help can be hugely empowering for girls, regardless of where they are in their own kind of puberty timeline.
Okay. Holy cow. This is so huge. I don't even think it's possible to really fully understand how big this is, because not only are you teaching girls to be good supporters of their friends in their friend group right now, but you're literally starting a pattern for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
I didn't have a culture of care. I had a great family and everything, but there was definitely not a culture of care surrounding my cycle or my period in any way, shape, or form. Even extended out into my friends, it was something like very embarrassing. It was something, hush, hush, we don't talk about it. We don't do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the idea that we're starting to introduce our girls to this in a way that is not shameful, in a way that is encouraging, and in a way that is just so supportive, like you said, that culture of care. How do we start to shift to that culture of care in our own homes with maybe sons and husbands as well? Do you have any suggestions for kind of bringing them into that culture of care?
Yeah, I mean, so again, this kind of, there's this question of like, what is the proximate formation that happens, right? When you have a girl who's like right on the threshold of puberty or who is just starting her cycle, the intentional conversations that you can have in your family are right there, right? So making sure that dad understands what are the different options for period products? Does he know where they're stashed in the bathroom? You know, is he able to be that person? Like sometimes dad is the one who's home.
Yeah.
When she comes out of the bathroom and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, so does dad have the wherewithal to kind of absorb that moment and to be there with his daughter? This is something that I think husbands and wives should actively talk about with their kids. You know, do we understand how we want their first experience to go? And can we be flexible when it doesn't go, you know, the way that we anticipated? So making sure that dads get this education too. I'm very careful in cycle prep to never explicitly say that mom is the one watching the videos with you.
Yeah.
I always want to make sure that for any family that the dad is watching along too, that he's included in these conversations. So I will always target everything I'm saying with cycle prep to the parents, right, or to the caregivers, to make sure that dad's included in that. But even before then, I like to talk to parents about how the church, in her great wisdom, talks about the family as the first school of all sorts of different things, right? In Familiaris Consortio, you read about the family as the first school of prayer, right? The first school of virtue, the first school. And what this means is that children are first learning about things in the context of their family life. So when we think about building a culture of care, it really is, how is our family set up to just teach our kids in general that when our bodies need attention, we listen and we respond generously? And so one of the first things that I kind of ask moms to think about is, you know, mom, when you're sick, right, if you are feeling under the weather, do you vocalize to your kids, I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling a little run down. My body's telling me to rest, right? So explain what's happening and then ask for an accommodation or tell the kids what accommodation you're giving. So I'm going to go lie down for 20 minutes. If you need me, here's how you find me. But like, I'm going to go take a little bit of a rest, or I'm going to sit here with this cup of tea, or I'm going to do whatever I need to do. When we begin to just be intentional about articulating these things, we're building the expectation in our families that our bodies are worth listening to and that our bodies are worthy of that attention and care. And that applies regardless of whether somebody is sick, if somebody is injured, if somebody is experiencing their very first menstrual cycle and needs a little bit of personal space. So that's just a very basic line that I encourage families to be intentional about creating in the way that you speak or show or demonstrate to your kids how we respect our own bodies. And that's something that can happen between moms and dads too. So I guess I'll just share a little story, because I share this sometimes in my live cycle prep groups, is that there was one morning where my husband, he let me sleep in. So usually we trade off, like Saturday is my day to sleep in, Sunday is his day to sleep in on the weekends. And I got up late one Sunday morning and I came downstairs and I was so groggy and I was apologetic. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you should have been the one to sleep in. And in front of the kids, as he's making my coffee, he says, it's okay. I know it's day two of your cycle and you need a little rest. And I was like, what? I tell this story and usually the moms in attendance are like, honey. Yeah. But this is just a basic thing that we can do in our families to make sure that periods and cycles are not something that are hidden, that they're a part of the way that we care for each other, and to not be ashamed to show our kids that we're being intentional about doing that.
I absolutely love that. Love it, love it, love it. Let me ask you this question, because I know that when I've talked to other moms, this comes up a lot. Sometimes it feels very weird bringing up these subjects, you know, starting to broach them, especially sometimes with husbands. Sometimes husbands are very weird about that kind of stuff. Boys, I feel like boys are kind of easy because they laugh and joke about everything, and you just get to laugh and joke about everything with them, you know, for a little bit. Then you're like, okay, but seriously, like, here's the details, you know. But what do you recommend starting out with if you have somebody who's kind of standoffish about topics of sex or cycles or, you know, things about your body? Do you recommend just start bringing them up in everyday life, or do you recommend going out on a date and being like, hey, this is something really important to me?
Well, so I mean, one of the easiest things to do, honestly, is to say, hey, hubby, I have purchased this book, or I have purchased this program, and I intend to watch this with our daughter. But before we do that, I want to sit down and I want to watch it together to make sure that you and I preview the contents, that we understand what's in it, and then you and I can talk about it afterwards. Like, it can be as simple as that. Men are just, they're so practical, right? If you say, hey, hun, like, I'm planning to do this, right? And I want us to just preview these materials. And then that way, if you have any concerns, I can make sure that we address these things when I talk to our daughter. Or if you want to be involved in the conversation, you'll already have some background information. I don't know a husband who would be like, oh my gosh, no, I'm never going to do that, right? Like, right? You're giving him a very practical reason as to why he is going to be doing this information with you. And I think a lot of men would be very receptive to that. I think sometimes as women, we tend to like overly agonize about like, how do I exactly perfectly broach this conversation? How do I create the exact right environment and come up like, I'm going to run this conversation 10,000 times in my head so I get it perfectly right. That's me, by the way. And I find it's much easier if we just say, you know what, I've made a decision to do something and I'm just going to bring my husband into that conversation so that he knows that he's a part of this team and I want to do it together. And I think that could be a pretty effective strategy.
Well, and I think it's really important to say too that like husbands are really a part of the team. And the husbands of today, I know my husband and your husband for sure, they're like, they are ready. You know, they know these things are coming. They're not dumb. They're really smart, actually. And they have a lot of really good ideas.
Yes.
So bringing them in with an invitation, like you're saying, is such a great way to really break that wall that we're imagining down.
Yeah. And I do think if you have boys, bringing your husband in first brings the boys in naturally, because when your husband is comfortable talking about it and engaging with his daughters and coming in at a pinch and taking pads or something up to the movie theater and picking up a daughter who needs him, it becomes a very comfortable environment for the boys to start coming into that and understanding that. And I think that's key probably to just bringing the whole family in as a unit, is kind of starting with the husband.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree with that. And I definitely have heard stories of girls who will say, like, I am just so grateful that, you know, my dad was comfortable enough because, like, I started my period when dad was home, like mom wasn't there, yeah. You know, and I freaked out, but like my dad handled it so well. And so there are definitely times when he needs to be the point person there and, yeah. You know, making sure that he doesn't feel caught like a deer in the headlights when that happens. Like, this is something that can make it a lot more comfortable for him and help him to feel and to actually be much more empowered as a caregiver, to kind of have his own plan for like how to handle these things and how to know to respond.
And I will just say, for the point of having daughters who are in similar cycle phases as I am, oftentimes my patience or my sympathy is not as strong as I wish it would be at the time that they need me. So having a husband who's gentle and kind and loving and understanding and very, very, very patient with both myself and my daughters, it's really nice to have another touch point in the house that if we're currently at odds with each other or currently feeding off of each other's hormones, that there's kind of a neutral party who knows what's going on, who's aware of what's happening. It's like, hey, you both probably want to take a nap right now. Why don't I just handle everything in the house and you guys can go take a nap? So speaking from that point, it is really, really beautiful and nice to have a husband in the house who's part of all of that. Getting back to the girls though, once they finally do start, what are your recommendations for kind of logging that or keeping track of that? Are there certain programs, or is it just better to do just a good old paper and pen method?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because I know, you know, even families may have very strong opinions about that, honestly, you know, whether your daughter has access to a phone that would have an app, right? That's a family culture question that's going to come into play when you are introducing your daughter to the concept of just kind of tracking her cycles. I'm always very careful to say that no girl needs to be told that she has to track her cycles, but every girl should at least be aware that there could be some really great benefits to understanding what's going on in your cycle and to being able to articulate changes or things that may not be normal when you first start. So introducing your daughter to the concept of tracking her cycle is something that I think all parents should do, but whether she should track, that's up to you. If she does want to track her cycle, one thing that parents should communicate is that within the first few years, it's very likely that cycles are going to be much more irregular. And we cover a little bit of that in cycle prep, and I go into more in depth in my Charting for Girls course. Their HPO axis, so this is kind of the communication channel that regulates the hormones for the menstrual cycles. It takes a few years to really kind of wind up and get going and for all the different parts to communicate well together. And so tracking your cycle is, for the first few years, is really just going to look like trying to find patterns, maybe making note of bleeding days. And that's super easy if she has a planner. She can just have a little symbol that she uses in her planner. If she has a calendar, she can do that. I have in my course just like a basic paper wheel chart with some different things to like color in to track. But at that point, they're not really tracking for ovulation, right? Once their cycles get more regular, it can be hugely empowering for their health to understand where ovulation is happening. And so they can begin to track that. But that really isn't something that's even appropriate until her cycles have become much more regular, because she won't be regularly ovulating for then. So I like paper as a nice, easy option. If parents like apps, there's a couple that I tend to recommend. I really love the FemHealth app as a free option. You can turn on the tracking for health options, so you're not going to get all of the, you know, other things that can come with cycle charting. Yeah. I also love, as a paid option, I love the Read Your Body app, because again, you can turn on the mode that will just be tracking for health, so it won't have intimacy options or things like that. And that one is completely customizable, so your daughter has the freedom to put whatever she wants in that app and to use whatever terms or whatever emojis or whatever things she wants to track. It's very customizable there. The things that I would say stay away from any app that has any predictive features. So if there's an app that's like trying to say like, we expect your period's going to start in the next X amount of days, please stay away from that with your girls, because especially in the first few years when they're more irregular, this can cause a lot of anxiety if they're like, oh, the app said that my period's going to start, but it didn't start for like the next 2 weeks. Is there something wrong with me? No, honey, it's not. It's wrong. The app is wrong. Okay. So no predictive features on apps for teens. Absolutely none. The second thing is pay attention to any app that has a chat or a forum feature. This is a hidden feature in a lot of cycle tracking apps that are out there. And obviously, for many reasons, as a parent, this would make me uncomfortable. Yeah. So that's kind of my general recommendations for parents if you're looking at going the route of app charting.
Have you ever heard of Tina?
Yes, I have tried out the Tina.
What do you think of that?
I have very complicated thoughts about the Tina. I actually wrote a big long blog post about the Tina when I tried it out. Unfortunately, Tina does do predictive features. For anybody who's unfamiliar, Tina is a basal body thermometer. So you take your temperature first thing in the morning. What it's doing is it's looking for a temperature shift to find ovulation. So right away, first of all, the problem is if your girl is within the first few years, ovulation is going to be irregular. It may not be a really good fit for her. The second thing is Tina, unfortunately, it automatically marks period bleeds for you. So if you start a bleed, it logs it as a period if it meets certain criteria for duration and flow. And unfortunately, teens have a lot of anovulatory bleeds that are not real periods because they weren't preceded by ovulation. And so technically, any anovulatory bleed should be marked within the same chart. It should not be a new chart. And so I just have a few issues with the way that Tina does some of their predictive features, the way that they handle, they don't really account for the irregularity that should be built into a charting app for teens. And then as they've grown, they've added to their library. They have a learning library. And they have a lot of like TikTok style videos in the app now, which as a mom with a girl who is not on social media and wants to stay away from short form social media style videos, it's not my thing. So anyway, just make sure that if you are looking into products that are marketed to teens, the product needs to be respectful for the natural development of teen cycles and some of the parental concerns that would be involved there. So that's just kind of, but it could be a good option if your girl is an older teen, if she's on social media and you don't really care, like if she's ovulating regularly, Tina could be a totally fine option. The other problem is that it does all of the interpretation for you. So it finds a temperature shift for you, but doesn't teach you how to identify a temperature shift, which I like to put the power in the hands of the actual charter to allow her to interpret her own chart. So mixed feelings about the Tina.
I'm so glad I asked. I love that you brought up the fact that charting your cycle is not just charting bleeds, because I think that for so long and for so many of us, that's what we understand our cycle being, is just when we're bleeding. Of course, we know that's absolutely not true, but I think that it's really prevalent in the misunderstanding in men and women alike, and even in period prep and everything, that your cycle is just this one small piece of it. So would you give our listeners just a really quick rundown of what phases we're looking at and maybe a little bit of information about each one?
Yeah, I love that you even said that. You said, you know, period prep. And I'm like, there's a reason that I called my course cycle prep and not period prep. It's because I want girls to understand what is happening in the whole cycle. So what I do in my program, actually, I have a little analogy that I can share with you guys here. I teach girls how to tell the story of their menstrual cycle. So I introduce this idea of the story of a kingdom. I'm like, just humor me and like imagine a kingdom. Okay. And so you have four different hormone helpers. You have follicle stimulating hormone, which is like your messenger. You have luteinizing hormone, which is like the herald, right? Makes a big important announcement. Estrogen is like the royal steward. And then progesterone is like the queen hormone. And so we walk through at the beginning of our cycle, we have a period or a menstrual bleed when all the hormones are kind of low. But then at the beginning of the cycle, FSH, our messenger, goes out to the ovary and wakes up some of the eggs that are in the ovary and says, hey, eggs, wake up, right? You need to get ready because one of you is going to get selected to be a special guest in the kingdom this month, right? So you need to prepare and you need to get ready. So that little egg wakes up, begins maturing in the follicle, starts getting ready in its dressing room. Meanwhile, estrogen, we enter the follicular phase because now the egg is in its follicle, right? So estrogen goes back to the uterus and begins making preparations for the egg to come visit. So estrogen is going to start building up this like rich uterine lining, this network of blood vessels and proteins and all sorts of wonderful things. When estrogen is ready, FSH and LH go back to the ovary, to the egg, and they say, okay, egg, you need to go. It's time to go. So that follicle is going to open up and the egg is released at the event known as ovulation. And the egg starts traveling towards the uterus at that point. The follicle where the egg was getting ready now becomes something called the corpus luteum, and it signals the production of progesterone, our queen hormone. So she now goes to the uterus. And so she and estrogen are working together to make this luxurious guest room in case the guest comes and arrives. And then if the guest doesn't come, because if the egg isn't fertilized, it actually dissolves within about 12 to 24 hours. So if it doesn't arrive, right, then progesterone is like, okay, we're going to clear up, we're going to clean out, we're going to start this whole process over, and we'll try again. So that's when we have our big period bleed. So basically the whole cycle is this process of maturing and releasing and preparing for the potential for a fertilized egg, right, a new human life to take up residence in the uterus. But when we look at these different phases, the menstrual phase, the follicular phase, ovulation, the luteal phase, we actually see how girls' and women's bodies are designed to optimally function through these different fluctuations of hormones. And when we understand that, when we understand the importance of this whole cycle and what it does in our bodies, then we can have a much better appreciation for that period bleed when it comes. And we can have a much better context for understanding what's going on, why we're seeing changes. And so helping girls to understand the whole cycle really equips them to be better prepared for the even the period and its own management itself.
You're such a wealth of knowledge. I love and appreciate not only because it's so easy to understand for girls, but honestly, just to speak for all of the moms out there, it's easy to understand for us as well. Everything that you do and you lay out in your course, I appreciate very much because it's very common sense and it's very easy to understand, and it's breaking down this information in a way that is so easy to receive and so easy to start paying attention to in your own life. And honestly, I have to admit, I'm a little embarrassed, but I learned more from your course with my oldest daughter than I ever did about my cycle before ever. So I have to just give you a shout out that I really do. I love your course. But let me ask you this. When we think about all these moms who don't really know what they've got to work with, maybe there are people who are like, you learned in school. I'm not going to touch that. Or you're just kind of hoping that they learned enough to get themselves through. And you know that they've started their period, but you don't really know what they know. Is it too late to catch them at that point?
Oh, I think it's never too late. I mean, I have had moms who they take the cycle prep course with their third or their fourth daughter, right? So their eldest is, you know, she's 17 or 18 at the time when they're taking the course with the younger one, and they all watch it together. And I've had moms tell me, you know, my 17-year-old daughter like ate it up, you know, she had never learned this stuff. And so it was done in the context of like, we're going to watch this because your little sister's going through this. We're going to learn it all together. So she didn't, you know, she was like, yeah, the story of the kingdom. Like, I'm so beyond that. But like, really, they learn a ton.
Yes.
So I encourage moms that like, it really is never too late. There are other things that you can do if you feel like your daughter is kind of beyond the stage and you're not entirely sure, like maybe cycle prep is a little below her. I'm not sure, you know, as much as I want to say that like Pearl and Thistle has all of your needs, I think that there's plenty of other things out there that we can give to our older daughters as well. So especially in the space of the late teens, maybe late high school, or early college age, there is a book called The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole, which was written by Teresa Kenny. It doesn't teach charting, but I love that it lays out the menstrual cycle for them. It introduces girls in a more mature way to some of these ideas that our cycles do come with, you know, energy patterns, and there's so much to be discovered about how our cycle influences our body, and it's very positive. It also, because it's kind of associated with the Guiding Star Project, it's done kind of under their imprint. It is very much like cautioning against suppressing our natural cycles, like what could be the health impacts when we do that. So it plants the seeds for these other conversations with daughters who are a little bit older and more mature and maybe have some deeper questions. So I would also recommend that parents check out the resources through Guiding Star. Natural Womanhood is a fabulous website that you can go to for a lot of great information. I have a charting book for young adult women called Cycle Charting for Single Women. And that is very explicitly Catholic. So a lot of my younger programming, for various reasons, does not bring theology explicitly into what we're doing with the younger girls, partly because their brains actually just cannot process like the concrete with the abstract in the same way.
Yeah.
But when you get to the young adult age, I do have a book that teaches cycle charting along with some kind of deep prompts for us to think about, you know, what does this mean that God has designed our bodies to work in this way? And it has discussion questions. And so Teresa Kenny's book, my own book, I think these are great resources that you could gift to your daughter, or you could even kind of go through together, because they do have a lot of rich, rich information for having some of those conversations.
Well, and this whole thing to me sounds so empowering for a young woman.
Yeah.
We're basically saying, right? Like, your body is telling you all of these things. You simply need to pay attention. And yes, it may be the cost of a book. It may be the cost of a program, but largely this is free.
Yeah.
Like you have these things available to you for free that can allow you to know how to run your own system, your own body at such a high level. What an empowering idea for a young girl all the way up to an older girl, to a mom.
Yes, I agree.
Yes, we're not teaching theology to the younger kids, but the fact that we have a theology that is so open to that, to the idea that we're good. We're made so well. We just have to work with that, right?
Mm-hmm. And the idea that when our bodies are in need, we're listening. We're responding with care and respect, like you said earlier. And that we're seeing ourselves, as you said, Tiffany, just now, as good. That starting your period is not a bad thing. And what a gift to be able to give our daughters that, to be empowered in their own body, to see themselves as good, as whole. To welcome her into these new stages of womanhood in a really beautiful way, in a comforting way, in a peaceful way, in an encouraging way, in an empowering way. I thank you so much for giving our family that, and for giving me that too, you know, that ability to kind of relive that through the eyes of my daughter and to continue that process. It just changes everything.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that personal testimony, because, you know, that being able to help families and to kind of to give families tools to do this for each other is just something that gives me such great joy. I wanted to just say a couple of things based on what you were sharing. Number one, we have research that's like almost 40 years old at this point that shows us, that proves that when we adequately prepare girls and affirm them in the transitions that go through puberty. So there's two components, right? Get them the education, but then also affirm them in this change, right? This can drastically reduce their anxiety when it comes to the pubertal transition, and it can greatly improve their experience of their first period. So that's the first thing, is that we have that research. And so we need to be proactive in making sure that when we are doing this education, we are both educating and affirming, and not teaching girls to be afraid of their bodies, right? Yeah. Not planting all of these negative seeds, right? So that's the one piece. The other piece is, you know, we know that it decreases anxiety, but it doesn't necessarily eliminate it. And so I'm always careful to tell parents, you know, your daughters are going to feel however they're going to feel about getting their first period. And with adequate preparation and affirmation in the right environment, many girls will feel excited, or they'll at least feel kind of proud, or they'll feel, you know, a sense of accomplishment when they begin their first periods. That can be totally normal. Other girls are just going to be weirded out. But and we can't control that initial emotional response, right? As best we can. We just, everybody's their own person. We can't control that. But what we can do is we can make sure that even if their initial emotional response is kind of negative or kind of worried, that we have intentionally given them the vocabulary and the concepts to logically at least come back from that initial response and say, but this is healthy. This is normal. I will get through this. It's a temporary transition. So we also need to just make sure that we're kind of giving our daughters the space to feel whatever they want to feel in that moment. And we're responding, you know, if your daughter's excited, let her celebrate, take her out. If she's a little more anxious, that's okay. Don't make her, right, go out and do anything that she's uncomfortable doing, but yeah. Make sure that she hears all those affirmations and can internalize them to help her process those emotions. And that can go a long way, because I even know my own kids, like, they're going to have very different emotional responses. And I want to make sure that I can honor both of those things.
Are there particular affirmations you're speaking of when you're talking about affirmations?
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of them are kind of just woven into the fabric of what I do with cycle prep. And so those affirmations would be things like, my body does important hidden work. My body is good. My body is smart. My body knows what's healthy for me. Menstrual cycles are healthy for me, right? So all of these things are kind of woven into the concepts that I do in cycle prep. Sometimes when I do parent presentations, I explicitly give them like a whole bullet list of like, here are the things that like you can pick up from these programs. And maybe you want to be intentional about saying them to yourself, because a lot of the times the way that we respond to our kids' own body changes is largely dictated by what we believe about our own selves. And being able to say those things to our own bodies can even make a huge, huge impact in our own experience of our cycles.
Thank you so much for pouring into the podcast so far. I know we're running out of time with you, so we're going to do some quick rapid fire questions. And then I would love for you to tell all of our listeners where they can find you, about your programs that you've got going on, because I know you've got some exciting new things that are happening right now, and I cannot wait for you to share them with everybody. Our first question is, what is your mom superpower?
My mom superpower? Oh, I know where everything is. Like, yeah. Yeah, they'll be like, where is the left shoe? And I'll be like, it's under the piano. You left it there 2 days ago. That's my superpower.
That's yeah. Awesome.
That is a superpower for sure. Oh my goodness. Okay. So if you could go back to one stage of your motherhood and tell yourself one thing, what stage would you go back to and what would you say?
Oh goodness. Well, I think I would go back to one very specific moment. And it was actually with my fourth baby. I literally cried over spilt milk. Like, I have a really hard time breastfeeding. And so I was always pumping to try and keep up supply. And there was just one morning where I had worked so darn hard to make 2 ounces of milk in this little bottle. And we're getting ready to go to church. And I'm like cleaning up the pump and I knock it over. I knocked over those little two precious. It was like, and I sobbed. I was just inconsolable. And in that moment, I wish I had given myself the grace to just say, Christina, it's okay. Feeding your baby formula is okay. Like, that was a big moment for me. And my husband was so wonderful in that moment. And he actually came in and said that. But like, I was incapable of saying that to myself. And so, mamas, it's okay.
That is beautiful.
I love that. And I can relate to that. We always called it liquid gold, because if anything yes. happened to it, if someone accidentally left it on the counter, I'm like, you don't understand how hard we worked for this.
I worked so darn hard for that. That was an hour and a half of my morning.
All 2 ounces. Every drop is so special.
I know. So that's one moment that I think will live in my head rent-free forever.
Okay, what are 4 things your friends or family would say you're good at?
4 things?
I know, isn't that terrible?
I have to be good at 4? Okay, so I think I'm good at piano. I play piano and have for a long time. I used to do music ministry and I still absolutely love it. I mean, I'm not a pianist, like classically trained by any means, but like I can get my way through some really fun show tunes. And that's a joy of mine. So I think I'm good at piano. I'm good at public speaking. I am good at knitting and crocheting are two hobbies that I have. Maybe I'm not great at those things, but I'm passable. I don't know. Can we leave it at three? Do I have to come up with four?
Well, okay. So after spending the last hour with you, I would say a talent of yours or something that you're good at is taking really big information that is confusing to a lot of people and turning it into something that's digestible.
Oh, thank you. I'll take it. Thank you.
Okay. And finally, what is something that makes your family special?
This is a big long pause because I can think of a lot of wonderful things, but I'll just share something that's maybe light and fun. We love family karaoke. We have like a full karaoke setup in our living room, and we love hosting karaoke parties, and everybody takes a turn, and it's just tons of fun. So whenever we are in a rut, whenever we're like, we just need something fun to do as a family, we're like, let's get out the karaoke books and let's have at. It's one of our favorite things to do. So I think that's just a special thing that I truly love about our family.
I love that. Oh, I love it. I love it. Before we run out of all your time, I know your time is so precious. Please tell us some of the things you've got. We talked about your cycle prep course, but I'd love for you to tell them a little bit more about it. Also, I know you've got a new course that you just put out that I'm very excited about. I sent it to my sister and my other sister and another friend.
Oh, nice.
I'm very excited for you to share all the things you have going on with all of our listeners.
Yeah. So just quickly, Cycle Prep is primarily a self-paced video course that you take online. And so Cycle Prep is broken up into eight small different videos, and it walks you through, you know, anatomy, the process of the menstrual cycle through that kingdom analogy that I shared a little bit of earlier. And then it really dives into, you know, what is it like to get your first period? What are my options for products? You know, what's normal? When should I talk to a trusted adult? And then it goes into the culture of care component. Cycle Prep is also available as a live workshop. I do live programs, and I'm in the process of like launching my very first actual facilitator training to get more people trained to do the live workshops. So that's a big project for this spring that I'm really excited about. You can learn more. You can just go to like cycleprep.com, and that'll take you right to the information page for that. The next course that is brand new this year is called Perimenopause Prep. So a lot of times when I do my live workshops with Cycle Prep, moms will come up to me and be like, do you have this? But like for the other type of puberty. And until now, the answer was no, but I do have a course now. It's called Perimenopause Prep, Navigating NFP with Shifting Fertility. So it's very specifically for Catholic couples who want to understand how our cycles might change, how the biomarkers might change, what are our options for shifting up our protocols based on our own particular goals during this time of transition. And it has modules that are focused on couple communication, right? As things are changing with the biology and the hormones in the wife, like how do we have constructive conversations together about navigating this transition as a couple? Where do we want to be when we come through on the other side of menopause? So it has a couples discussion guide that's a big component of that course as well, because I want couples to understand that the perimenopause transition is a shared transition, right? Yes. It's something that her body will experience, but the couple goes through together. So that's Perimenopause Prep. And then I also want to just give a little quick plug, because later this year, I don't have the release date yet, but I do have a book coming out with our Sunday visitor. It's called The Language of Your Body, Embracing God's Design for Your Cycle. I am so excited about this book because it's basically taking my background in theology and specifically theology of the body and bringing this to the concept of body literacy and understanding our menstrual cycles as a unique way that women actually do image God, right? That men and women image God in different ways, and our cycles are actually one way that we differently image God than men do. And starting up some conversations about, well, how could we take this knowledge of our cycles? How could it improve my sense of my identity as a daughter of God, my relationship with God, and then my relationship with the other people in my life. And then it also has some sections on like, how can we as a church do some better pastoral models of education? How can we make sure that women are affirmed and prepared to understand this aspect of their unique design? So that's coming out this year. I don't know when yet, but people can sign up on my website to be notified about the book release and to participate in any like pre-sales or launches or anything. So that'll be coming soon.
That is amazing. And I could just say, I did get the email with the cover and I was like, oh, it's so pretty. It's so good.
Oh, good.
Absolutely check it out. She also was generous enough to give all of our listeners a code for her cycle prep course. So be sure to check the show notes for that. If you're on our email list, you'll also get the code in our email that comes out when this goes live. And mamas, thank you so much for being here with us. Christina, thank you for pouring into all of our listeners and to Tiffany and I and having such an incredible conversation with us today. You, like we said at the beginning, are a powerhouse and we feel really honored to have had you on the podcast and to have shared as much as you did. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly been a lot of fun chatting with you this morning.
Sweet mama, thank you so much for listening in on this conversation with the amazing Christina Valenzuela. If you enjoy this, please share this podcast with a friend. And if you'd like more content like this, or if you want to share content you'd like to see, or tell us what you think of the podcast, we would love to hear from you in the reviews. And as always, sweet mama, never forget, you are doing beautiful work.